So if you are looking for a spouse that loves the Lord, do you love the Lord as much as you expect your spouse to? Are you living in a way that you would expect your spouse to live and love the Lord? Many times this doesn't happen, so people end up settling for whatever they can find because they aren't really disciplined themselves. And then they blame God that there's no good men out there or there's no good women out there. Well, how about you be the best Christian that you can be? Hey, welcome back to Bible Line. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez. Today we're answering another listener-submitted question, so let's dive right in. This is more of an advice video, so I just want to say in the onset, there'll be things that I mention that you may watch another Bible channel that talks about the same topics, but they don't mention something that I mention, or I don't mention what they talk about. And the idea here is not to go through every single piece of information about this question in which someone's looking for advice, but to just give you my thoughts on it because that's what was asked. And here's the question. What dating advice does the Bible give to believers? So I wrote a response here. This is question number 51 on our website. Always, I encourage you to bookmark our website because we often put answers for questions that are submitted well before the video actually comes out. And there's some that are posted on there that we never record a video about. But I just want to say at the onset here, that there's not specific advice about dating per se in the Bible. The Bible was written in a time where people did not really have the freedom to pick and choose who they were going to marry, especially in Jewish culture. There was a lot of arranged marriages because with that came the growth of a family, family property, all types of stuff. But in the culture we live in today, there's a lot more freedom. People can choose who they want to marry, and there's no real restrictions on that. I don't think that's an overall bad thing. I think it's good that people can use their freedom to choose who they want to, you know, spend the rest of their lives with. Marriage is extremely important. It's something that I believe God designs to last for your life. So you need to make those decisions wisely. But I think there are really three things that are important when a Christian is looking at dating. And a big thing that comes off right at the outset is purity. That's the first one. Purity. Dating should never involve sex. And this is really something that surprisingly, and it's surprising because the Bible's so clear about avoiding fornication, but surprisingly, a lot of Christians are okay with fornication, you know, sex before marriage. If they're like, well, you know, we're two consenting adults, we love God, and God, he's forgiven us all of our sins, so this isn't that bad, and I'm going to marry them, blah, blah, blah. And they justify their sin, and they ignore very clear warnings in the Bible. I don't think that dating should be for anything except for the intent of marriage. And some people take that as an extreme view. If it's not for the intent of marriage, what are you dating that person for? I mean, you're not dating them just to, you know, have camaraderie. Because if you're in this idea of dating, there's like these guidelines that have been removed, and now you can be physical with one another as the relationship progresses. Why not do the best for that person? If you really care and love about that person, why put them in a situation where they could experience the chastening hand of God? If you really love them, you wouldn't put them in that kind of situation. But there's a lot of skewed opinions on dating today, and that's why I say my first piece of advice is purity. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 18 through 20 make this statement, flee fornication. Now, this is at the end of a very lengthy discussion that Paul has about sin, specifically about believers going to prostitutes and joining their bodies with that prostitute. He's making the point that you're joined in spiritual union with Christ. Why would you submit your body willingly in this way to somebody who is not your wife, who is not your husband? Why would you do that? And he makes this very interesting statement, which has always puzzled me. It says, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. That's a pretty strong statement. A lot of people want to read in here, well, that's where we get sexually transmitted diseases and it affects the body. But, you know, you can have a problem with gluttony and become morbidly obese, and there's a problem there too. I've read some really good opinions on this, and I think where I would come down is, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. This is the one sin where you can't undo it. You know, what you do is with another person and their body. When you have sex with somebody, that is something that will always be. You know, food is amoral. All, you know, that kind of stuff is amoral. But with this, it's a willful decision that you do that harms your body because you're unifying something outside of the covenant of marriage, which God has established. And then he goes on to make his point even further. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? So there's several things that I think are important here. If the believer is the temple of the Holy Ghost, that is from God, as it says, which ye have of God. And number two, that means the possession of this body, we are supposed to use it in a way that is honoring to God. It's not up to us how we choose to use our bodies anymore. And I think this is something that with the feminist movement, with this, you know, pro-abortion movement type stuff, this gets thrown under the bus. And people, I think it's the United Methodist Church that would put something like this in different buckets and say like, oh, these are timeless truths. These are truths that maybe they were culturally relevant for the time, but now, you know, there's also this bucket where these things should have never been said. And I'm not saying all Methodists believe that, but a lot of the United Methodist Church would look at stuff like this in light of the progressive movement and try to get you as the believer to excise what the Word of God has already clearly said. You have which ye have of God, and you are not your own. So this body that you have as you're dating this other person, you don't have that free will to just make a decision to have sex with them. Now, if you choose to do that, there will be consequences. But God is expecting that you not do that. If you do burn with that passion, as Paul says later, get married. Get married, because now you can do this in a way that pleases God. But my favorite here is in verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So there's two planes here. You need to obey God in respect to do not commit fornication, obey him with your body, and obey him with your spirit. You make those decisions to sleep with another person out of lust. And just because you love them or you plan to get married with them doesn't make it right. And I think a lot of Christians should avoid putting themselves in situations where sex is easy to happen. You know, I put this in the response that I put here, but a good rule of thumb for Christians is that they should date with the intent of marriage, not sexual gratification. Another piece of advice would be to avoid placing yourself in a situation that leads to sex. Don't be alone with one another. Don't dress immodestly. Respect your partner by doing everything for their good, not for their temptation. I think we all know how this stuff works. You don't just, you know, wake up one day and all of a sudden you find yourself in a compromising position. You take steps to get there. You say this, you do that, maybe a little touch on the shoulder, whatever it is. And the next thing you know, you've started something that is very difficult to stop. If you make the decision before you are ever in that situation that I'm not going to cross these lines, you won't even take the steps that are necessary to get to that line. So my second thing is fellowship. And I believe this one is sorely missing in many Christian dating situations. And I don't mean fellowship with your partner, you know, hanging out, because that's easy to do. You like them. You're attracted to them. You want to hang out. I'm talking about your walk with the Lord, because oftentimes people go into the dating world looking for Mr. Perfect and Mrs. Perfect, and they're not even close to what they're looking for. I think it's very important that believers understand the message of 1 John, which is our joy can be full, our fellowship can be full as we obey the Lord. So if you are looking for a spouse that loves the Lord, do you love the Lord as much as you expect your spouse to? Are you living in a way that you would expect your spouse to live and love the Lord? Many times this doesn't happen, so people end up settling for whatever they can find because they aren't really disciplined themselves. And then they blame God that there's no good men out there or there's no good women out there. Well, how about you be the best Christian that you can be? You walk with the Lord, you obey his word, you set yourself aside and improve on your sanctification, and I believe God will bring you what you desire. I really do, and I don't mean that in a selfish way, like, oh, I desire this certain thing so I can trick God into it. But if you obey God, he says in his word that a man who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. So it's a good thing to be married. There's nothing wrong with that, but there becomes a problem when you're trying to set standards that you're not keeping yourself. So focus on your own fellowship. And the last thing is communication. And I think this is important. As you're getting to know somebody and you're thinking this might be somebody that I would consider marrying, talk about that. So many people would say, oh, that's too soon. Why? If the whole purpose of dating is to get married, why would it be too soon to talk about marriage? Now, I'm not saying like on the first date, you're like, let's set the date. What is your finger size? You know, and we'll get the ring. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, as you're progressing through this relationship with this individual, talk about your values. Talk about things that are important. Because if the intent is to marry this person, you need to know that. Because there are some times where there's two people, they're in the body of Christ. They're just not compatible. They have different... I don't really know how all that works. I was married when I was 20. So my wife and I had a lot in common, but we've grown through our 20s together. So it's hard for me to look exactly at what's going on in the dating world for people in their 20s and give you, you know, advice on communication. But it would be my perspective when I look at the Word of God, you don't want to be with somebody that disagrees with you on fundamental principles. You need to first make sure whoever you're dating is saved, because if you're going to go into a covenant with somebody forever and they're not even in the body of Christ, you're setting yourself up for some big problems and big hurdles. I know people in my life who are still trying to overcome that. It's very difficult. You eliminate that problem if you talk about it in the beginning. But there needs to be communication with one another. Do they know for sure they're going to heaven when they die? If not, why? What's their background? What's stopping them from putting their trust in Jesus Christ and trusting in their works? These are great conversations, you know, and people would say, oh, they're very personal. Well, isn't that the point of dating? It's different than a friendship. And this is why I say, you know, dating should never include fornication, because I think it's kind of like a given today. Well, you're dating somebody, oh, they're, you know, exclusive with one another. Shouldn't be that way. I do want to warn about too much communication that can lead to what I call dead air. And I've seen a lot of relationships where they talk to each other for hours and hours, and eventually there's nothing more to talk about, so now the physical happens. First few months are good because you're sharing your whole life story with people and you're talking for the sake of talking, and then the talking stops. You still like that person, so you're going to explore what you haven't explored, which is their body, which is those barriers. So set up some you know, time where you're still to yourself, working on your walk with the Lord, maintaining a good fellowship with Him. Pray for that individual. Instead of talking to them all the time, talk to God about them and ask Him to show you, is this your will? I think these three principles, purity, fellowship, and communication, will lead to a much more profitable dating experience, okay? And I think it's important to recognize God does have a plan for your life. And a part of that plan is for you to obey Him. So if you want to find a good spouse, obey the Lord. Trust Him. He's not going to lead you wrong. And I do believe that it'll be made known what direction you need to go. Now, some people don't like that because that's the whole sit and wait thing. That's not what we're trained today. We're trained today, post it, like, comment, retweet, share, whatever. Let God do His perfect work. You just trust Him. I hope that makes sense. And if you have any questions, send it to us, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Videos like this are a little loose just because, you know, they're advice videos. But I'll be more than happy to answer any questions that you might have. Until then, and next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon.
If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.